חיים ברכה. ברך, ברך אתה הנהלין ומאחל. ברי. Going to learn the first volume of the Rebbe's Sichas, Edeb's edited talks. It's a very short, but very powerful talk in which the Rebbe speaks about the meaning of Lechacha, and I'm going to try to paraphrase from the Yiddish and try to explain. It says that Avram Avinu was given 10 tests. The first test, and maybe the greatest test, was the test of Ur Kasdim. Ur Kasdim was when his father brought him, when he was a child, to the king, because Avram was doing these dangerous things. He was saying that there's this God who created the world, and that was very, very unpopular in those days. And his father was like this big, exporter, importer, I don't know what you would call him exactly, of idols. He was really into the idol business. And Avram Avinu was challenging his father's whole profession, and not just his profession, but challenging the popular way of thinking in those days about idols. So his father brought him to the king of the world at the time. Nimrod was one of the 10 kings, I think, if I remember correctly, that ruled the entire world. And he said to Nimrod that my son is doing something very dangerous. He believes in this invisible God. So Nimrod started to speak to Avram, trying to make sense to this child, trying to explain to him how he should worship things. So the conversation went something like this. Nimrod says to Avram, why don't you choose to worship fire? I think that was Nimrod, one of Nimrod's favorite gods. Avram's like, water could put out fire. Why don't you worship water? Water is carried by the clouds. And it went on and on until Nimrod saw that who he's dealing with, and he said that Avram should be thrown into the fire. A miracle happens, and Avram survives the fire. So that was Avram's first test, and perhaps one of the greatest tests. But that test is only hinted in the Torah. The Torah doesn't say that test clearly. The first test, which is said explicitly in the Torah, is a test of Avram Avinu being asked to leave his father's house, leave his birthplace, to leave the land that he was born in, and go to the land that Hashem will show him. So why is it that Hashem doesn't mention in the Torah all the other tests? So the Rebbe says it's possible. The reason why this is the first test that's mentioned is because the idea of Lech Lecha exists in every person in three ways. In a way of above to below, in a way of below to above, and in a third way, within the world itself. As briefly, below to above, what that means is, there's a Lech Lecha when you're born. Lech Lecha means to leave where you were before and to go to a new place Hashem will show you. So when you're born, it says in the Mishnah, against your will you are alive, then Hashem doesn't really want to go down here. Hashem is having a great time over there with all the other souls. And Hashem takes the neshama and says to the neshama, you got to leave. The neshama is in the world of, all neshamas originate from the world of Atzilus. And the Gemara uses the expression, how all souls are hewn out of the throne of glory. The throne of glory, when the Gemara uses the word the throne of glory, it's referring to the world of Bria. The world of Bria is called the throne room. As we learned a couple of times, the world of Bria is called the throne room because just like in the throne room of a human king, everyone is totally in a state of reverence to the king when they're in the throne room, so too all the souls and angels in the world of Bria are in a state of dveikus, a state of attachment to Hashem, so much so that Kabbalah calls the souls and angels in the world of Bria as sort of not existing. They're called Efsharis HaMetzius, the possibility of existence, although they exist, but what is their existence? Their existence is their attachment to their source. Another analogy that Chassidus gives for those souls and angels is fish in the water. You look at the water, you don't see the water. You don't see the fish, you just see the water. So too, these souls and angels are submerged in their source so much that you don't look, when you look at them, you don't see them, you see their source. That's the world of Bria. So souls do come from the world of Bria, but that's only a stop on the way to this world. All souls originate from even higher than the world of Bria. All souls originate from the world of Atzilus. In the Rebbe's analogy, the world of Atzilus is compared to a king in his private chambers, where all there is the king. Not like when the king is in the throne room, where there's other people there that are showing reverence to the king, but exist nonetheless. The world of Atzilus is called the world of unity, and all there is there is just the king. So the soul is told to leave the world of Atzilus, to leave the throne room, and to go down to this world. That's what we say every morning when we daven. The soul that you gave me is pure, and you created it, you formed it, you blew it within me. In that prayer, we're referring to the four worlds. The soul is pure, first the world of Atzilus. The soul that you have given me is even beyond the world of Atzilus. In other words, it says the soul that you have given me, sort of comma, is pure. So the words you have given me before the words it is pure refers to a level even beyond Atzilus. So the soul is then told, Lach Lecha, you got to leave there and go down to this world. And before it goes down to this world, the soul is shown the heaven and hell. And the reason the soul is shown heaven and hell is in order that the neshama should know what the consequences of what's at stake when it comes to this world. So you can imagine the soul feels like it's being sentenced. You know, there's heaven and there's hell, here's your mission, do this mission or else. But there's good stuff also. Like the neshama doesn't want to do this. The neshama is having a great time over there. So Hashem says, that's on the one hand. On the one hand, the neshama's descent to the world is a very great descent. On the other hand, despite the fact that it's such a great descent, the neshama through this descent achieves a great ascent. The neshama reaches a higher place. As the famous teaching of the Alter Rebbe, Yerida Tzerech Aliyah. It's a descent for the purpose of an ascent. It's not only a descent, it's a descent for the purpose of an ascent. So these two concepts, on the one hand that it's a great descent, on the other hand that it's a descent for the purpose of an ascent, are alluded to in the words of Hashem to Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha. Go out of your land. What land is the Torah referring to? The land refers to the soul as it exists in its divine source and God's will. In Tanya, it says that the soul within the world of Atzilus itself, it originates from the level called Chachma, the wisdom of Hashem. And as we learned a couple of times, the wisdom of Hashem is a place where there it's revealed how there's nothing besides Hashem. Hashem's wisdom isn't Hashem's smartness. Hashem's wisdom means a revelation of Hashem's truth, just like our wisdom is a way that we get in touch with the truth, the way we see things. So Hashem's wisdom is revelation of the truth, how Hashem is alone and there's nothing besides Him. I don't know why, but I've heard many times that in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe refrains from talking about levels beyond Atzilus. So when the Alter Rebbe talks about the divine source of the soul, he stops at, it comes from the wisdom of Hashem and Atzilus. Although the soul originates even higher than Atzilus, the soul originates in God's desire, in the level of Keser, beyond Atzilus. Or maybe you can't call that existing, depending on what the word exists mean. Technically, the existence doesn't begin till the throne room. But either way, the soul has its origins, existing or not, in the desire of Hashem, in the realm of Keser, beyond Atzilus. And that's what the meaning of Lach Lecha Mi'artzecha is. Go out of your land. The word land means desire. Leave the realm of Keser. Leave the realm of desire. And Hashem tells the soul further, go out of your birthplace, go out of your father's house. Birthplace and father's house are also references to spiritual levels. The word birthplace is associated with the sphere of Chachma. And that's because it says in Kabbalah that Chachma and Bina, the power to create ideas, the power to understand ideas, those are the father and the mother that produce our feelings. So when Hashem tells Avram to leave his birthplace, the birthplace refers to the father. The base, the house of it, the birthplace refers to the sphere called the father, the sphere of Chachma. The house of your father means not the father itself, not the level of Chachma itself, not the level of the power to create ideas itself, but the house of the father refers to that which receives from Chachma. There is Chachma itself. When you create an idea, that's Chachma. When that idea is extrapolated and explained, that's Bina. So Bina is called the house of Chachma. Or in the language of the Zohar, Bina is called Nekuda Beichala. There is a point in a chamber, in a palace. That's, so Hashem tells Avram, leave your birthplace, i.e. the Sphere of Chachma. Leave your father's house, i.e. the Sphere of Bina. Further, Hashem tells him to leave, as we shall see, the Torah exists in every single world, and the Torah doesn't just have one meaning, because it's explained in every station that it's in. Like we say in our benching, for your Torah that you have taught us. Rizal says, your Torah is referring to the world of Atzilus. That you have taught us refers to the way the Torah is in the world of Bria. So the Rebbe explains this concept as we just did, vis-a-vis how this applies to Keser, Chachma, and Bina. And now we'll see another two explanations of what this same verse means. Your birthplace refers to both Chachma and Bina, because Chachma and Bina are called father and mother, and therefore they both could be included in birthplace. And the house of your father refers to the sphere of Malchus. Malchus is called the house of Chachma because Malchus, it says, is called in Kabbalah the daughter. And it says the father is the foundation of the daughter. There's a relationship between a father and a daughter. That means that although Malchus is the lowest of all spheres and Chachma is the highest of all spheres, there's a direct connection between Chachma and Malchus. Elsewhere, Chassidus points to how sometimes Rashi and the Rambam are saying exactly the same idea, and yet they're using different language. Although sometimes they use slightly different language because they're saying different ideas. But something they're actually, and people try to figure out, why is he using this word, why is he using that word? And sometimes those different words mean that they disagree and they're saying something slightly different. But sometimes they're using different words even though they're saying exactly the same idea, and yet they're using different words. Why is that? So Chassidus says that our language, not only Rashi and the Rambam, but our language, human beings' language, has a lot to do with that which is beyond logic and wisdom, that which is beyond intelligence. It comes from Chachma. It comes from the origin of wisdom. My words, the words I choose, it's not because of the Bina, because of the idea I'm trying to convey, it's because of that which is subconscious in Chachma. So that's why it says that Malchus originates from, the daughter comes from the father, and therefore the house of your father refers to Malchus. Another way these three words can be explained is that your birthplace and your father's house and your land refer to Bina, Mides, the emotive attributes of Atzilus, and Malchus. So your birthplace refers to your mother, refers to Bina, and your father's house, your land refers to Bina, your birthplace refers to the Midas of Atzilus, and your father's house refers to Malchus. These three words also exist in, can be explained, and have meaning also in reference to all the four worlds at large.
Midas was what?
The emotive attributes of the world of Atzilus.
No, Midas was related in the parsha of what?
Midas are related to your birthplace. There doesn't explain why Midas refers to birthplace. It doesn't explain either why your land refers to Bina. Yeah. But he gives a footnote over here to the Zayar and the Lakuta Torah. Do your homework later. Tell me what it says. Chaim. Okay, so now that moves on, and Rebbe says these three words also have application to all the four worlds. Your land refers to the way the soul is beyond the world of Atzilus. As I mentioned before, that the soul originates from not just the wisdom of Hashem, but the desire of Hashem. So that's the way the neshama is beyond the world of Atzilus, as the neshama is in Keser. Your birthplace refers to the way that the soul is in Atzilus. All souls come from Atzilus. And since the main sphira, we learned earlier this week that every world has a predominant sphira. The main sphira in the world of Atzilus is Chachma. Not just Chachma has this expression of the truth of Hashem, there's nothing besides Hashem, but the whole world of Atzilus is called the world of unity because that's the main sphira of Atzilus. So that's the level called the Yud of Hashem's name. Because the letter Yud of Hashem's name denotes and alludes to the wisdom of Hashem, and that's the main sphere of Atzilus. The house of your father refers to the entire world of Bria, because since the main sphere in the world of Bria is Bina, so that's why the world of Bria is associated with the house of your father. The sphere of Bina, which houses and receives from Chachma, refers to the entire world of Bria, because Bria receives from Chachma. And that's the main sphere of Bria. And the Neshama descends to the world of Bria, and there the sphere of Bina is revealed. So Hashem tells the Neshama, you have to leave your land, you have to leave your birthplace, you have to leave your father's house. It should leave its divine origin, and it should go from all of these above-mentioned levels, from Chachma, from Ratzon, from Desire, from Keser. And where should the Neshama go? The Neshama should go to the land Hashem says that I will show you. It should vest itself in earthy physical body. It should go into the earthy physical body, because specifically in the physical body is able to have this ascent. So the Neshama goes down in order to go up. It's leave all these lofty places to go to a higher place. So in the brachas that we say in the morning, we say the soul that you gave me is pure. You created, you formed it. Then we say, and you guard it within me. Just like physically, the guardian of someone has to be stronger than the person himself. Right? You can't have someone who's weaker than you guarding you, right? Otherwise, you'd be their guardian. So the soul you've given me is Atzilus, or the soul you give me before the word it's pure refers to beyond Atzilus. The soul as it's pure refers to Atzilus. You've created it's Bria, you've formed it, it's Yitzira, you've blown the soul in me, that's the world of Asir, that's this world. But then the Torah, then the prayer adds the words, and you guard it within me. Guarding the soul in me refers to how specifically when the soul is in this world, there is something that the soul connects to that is beyond even the way the soul is in its highest roots. The guardian has to be greater than the one that's being guarded. So whatever the soul was before, the soul receives something much greater by its descent to this world. The soul reaches a far higher place. And that's the meaning that of the words that Hashem says to each soul, go to the land that I will show you. I refers to the essence of Hashem. So Hashem is telling you, you follow me to this world, in this physical world, you will find me. You will find my essence. You'll connect, you'll be able to absorb, you'll be able to connect, you'll be able to take God's essence specifically by going to this world. Like it says in chapter 4 in Tanya that we're only able to connect with Hashem's essence through the mitzvahs that we do in this physical world. The Torah exists in Atzilus and all these higher worlds, but where can we, Tanya gives the analogy of a king who is wearing clothing. When you hug the king while he's wearing his clothing, although the king may be wearing many robes, you're not hugging his robes, you're hugging him. So in a similar way, when you do a mitzvah, you're hugging Hashem. You learn Torah, you're bonding with Hashem himself, even though you're talking, you're wearing physical straps and you're putting on physical tzitzis, but nevertheless, Hashem puts his very essence in the mitzvahs that we do. So it's the physical mitzvahs that connect us to God's essence. That's why Hashem says, leave your birthplace and go to the land that I, the essence of Hashem, will show you. You're going to get to me and you're going to take me through coming to this world. So after the neshama descends to this world and leaves all the glorious levels it was before, had before, goes in the physical body, it then receives the power to do its mission here. And it has now, it's told lechacha before it comes here. And as soon as it gets here, the soul is told again lechacha. You hear it, Dr. Bresman? It's told lechacha when it leaves, and as soon as it gets here, it's a multi-legged trip. It's told as soon as it gets here, lechacha. What's lechacha mean? Hashem tells the soul to ascend, to go higher. Hashem made a human being in a way that the Yetzer Hara enters our body when we're born, and the Neshama only fully enters when we're Bar Mitzvah. So the one who has the home playing court advantage is the Yetzer Hara. That's why he's called the old foolish king. He's called old because he's here way before. And as soon as we're born, the Yetzer Hara comes in. So we need the power to overcome the Yetzer Hara. So when the neshama comes into this world, Hashem gives us the power to leave our land. What does the word land mean? The word land means to leave our desires, to get out of all the desires that we have and to go towards where Hashem wants us to go. We should never identify ourselves with our desires. As we were learning last night, our desires are sort of like a child who's told to watch a dog. You have to watch the dog, but the dog isn't you. Hashem tells you, don't identify with your desires. Leave your desires. You should be able to know when these desires are your desires or they're not. Hashem says, leave the desires behind. Don't listen to Yetzer Hara. Go leave your desires. Then Hashem tells us further, leave your birthplace. Your birthplace means leave those things that you consider to be obvious because of the way that you were born. There are certain things that we could take as a given, that this has to happen. Certain things that people consider like this is, you just have to do things this way because this is the way you do things. So we have a lot of that, both because of things that we're born with innately and also because, you know, that we were hardwired with when we were born, and also because of the environment that we're born in and the people that we meet. So the Shem says, leave your birthplace, leave those things which nature has granted you this erroneous perception of, that this is the way things are. And you naturally feel this is the way things are. I shouldn't say nature. Hashem has hardwired us with certain things that we consider to be have-tos. Hashem says, leave those things. And further, Hashem says, leave your father's house. Your father's house means leave those things that you've received from the environment you've been brought up in. And where should you go? Go to the land that I'll show you. Where is the land that I will show you? Go to the shul, go to the synagogue, go to the place of learning. And there, that's the place where the desires of the godly soul reign. So Hashem tells us to overcome all of our natural, earthy, worldly desires, all of our natural, earthy, worldly perspectives, and all of our natural feelings of our animal soul, and all of our habits of animal soul, and instead to go to the place of our godly soul, to go to the place of our neshama. But there's another meaning. Just like we were learning earlier about the neshama's descent to this world, the various levels of its explaining its descent, various ways of explaining those words, lechacha, go out of atzilus, right? So too, lechacha has a deeper meaning as well. It doesn't just mean to leave your animal soul. It also means to leave your godly soul. The godly soul also has desires. Okay, I once we spoke a few months ago about this time. The Rebbe, it was Achron Shel Pesach, I think, Tashni Yudalit. The Rebbe said a person's in a room, and he's learning Torah. And Hashem knocks on the door, and Hashem says, behind this door, there's a child who has to learn Torah. Leave where you are, and go play with this child for half an hour, so that he should say, "Come and salafa." So Hashem says, "No, I don't want to do that. Let me cleave to you. Why would I do that?" So Hashem tells the neshama, you got to go out. So just like Hashem tells us to leave aside the desires of the animal soul, He also tells us leave the desires of the godly soul. And leave the birthplace and leave your father's house, even of the godly soul. The desires of the godly soul, the perspective, the meditation, the holy meditation. There was a chassid, the previous Rebbe, his name was Itchi the Masmid. He was called the Diligent One. The way I heard the story was that before he became a chassid, he was learning 24 hours a day Gemara, and they asked him, "Why don't you just try out chassidus?" He says, "Chassidus, when there'll be the 25th hours of the day, then I'll learn chassidus." Then when he became a chassid, he said, "So I can relate to learning chassidus. What happened to learning the Gemara?" He says, "When there'll be the 25th hour of the day, then I'll learn the Gemara." But in the end, he became one of the greatest chassidim. That wasn't so wild. But he was called the Diligent One. And he actually was killed by the Nazis, HaKadosh Hashem. Before he was killed, somehow the Nazis burned all the Jews in a shul. And someone somehow managed to escape from the shul. And he told the previous Rebbe what had happened. Ishtar the Masmid had gathered everyone together, and he told them, "Going to give our lives for the sake of Hashem, we should say the bracha." He said bracha with him, "Blessed be the Lord our God who has sanctified us with the mitzvah of HaKadosh Hashem." And then he said that this person told the previous Rebbe that he told everyone, "Don't give your life for the sake of getting Gan Eden. Give your life because that's what Hashem wants you to do. Give your life because for the sake of Hashem." So that's sort of like we're saying over here. Don't do things because Leave the desires of your godly soul also. Your godly soul wants Gan Eden. Your godly soul wants lots of stuff. Just like your animal soul wants stuff, your godly soul wants stuff. Your godly soul also has its perspective of what's important or not. The Rebbe the Masmid, one more story, let you guys go. The Rebbe the Masmid, when he was living in Russia, the previous Rebbe's main focus at the time was Tashbar. Tashbar means the children. The Nekes Shabbos Rabba. And the Rebbe the Masmid, he wasn't, you know, that kind of guy. He was a guy who was pray and study all day long, and that was his thing. He was a diligent one. So the previous Rebbe once said to him, Itche, if you're involved in Tashbar, you are mine. If you're not involved in Tashbar, you may be Itche, but you're not mine. You may be doing lots of great, you may be Itche, whatever Itche means, but you're not mine. You're not, in other words, you're not connecting with the Rebbe, and you're not connecting with what the leader of the generation is telling the Jewish people to do in the name of God. You're doing lots of great things. Your godly soul must love this stuff that you're doing. But you're not going towards the land that Hashem will show us, where we need to go to.
Sorry, Tashbar means what?
Tinekei Shabbos Rabban, the children. So, Hashem tells us, leave our desires of our godly soul, leave the meditation of our neshama, and reach a level beyond logic and reason. Reach a level which, as we learned earlier this week, Pnimiyas Abba, the inner dimension of Chachma. Chachma, when you see something, so you see, let's say, Niagara Falls. When you see Niagara Falls, two things happen. Number one is that you've just experienced something that really touches you very deeply, and you've seen something, and you've discovered something. Besides the discovery itself, you knew about Niagara Falls before. Once you saw it, you have no whole new way of explaining Niagara Falls. You never had before. Your sight impacts your mind. Those two things are both called chachma. Your mind is called chachma, and your vision, seeing, physical seeing, is associated also with the sphere of chachma. So when we say that you have to leave the realm of the neshama's meditation, where should it go? The Rebbe says it should go to the inner dimension of chachma, beyond logic and reason, to the level called the vision of godliness. Okay, that's where we need to go, and let's go there. L'chaim.
That Lech Lecha, the beginning of Lech Lecha is a for our soul.
Right, or more than a mushel, it's God talking to us. Not as only God talking to Avram, he's talking to each of us.